Shalom Aleichem. Welcome everyone. And we prepare for a very special Shabbos, a Shabbos which is Achrayim Shel Pesach, and for the first time in many years, a Shabbos when even Jews in Eretz Yisrael will not be eating chametz at this coming Shabbos. Because in Eretz Yisrael, like here, they will be unable to have chametz because Pesach doesn't end until the beginning of Kedusha Shabbos. I'd like today to share with you a thought regarding Kriyas Yamsuf, which we celebrate tonight, and with tomorrow is waning, and then a thought regarding Shir HaShirim. Regarding Kriyas Yamsuf, you will notice that the Pasuk says twice, once in Pasuk Chav Beis and once in Pasuk Chav Tes, that B'nai Yisrael went to Serech HaYom Bayabasha, V'amayim Lahem Chaymam Yiminam U'mismaylam. Twice the Pasuk tells us that the water was as a wall on the two sides of the Jewish people as we pass through the Yamsuf. However, the first time the word Chayma is spelled Male, which means Ches Vav Mem He. The second time it is spelled Chaser, Ches Mem He. Then I saw a beautiful thought based on the Vilna Gaon, the Gra. The Gra, he asks a different contradiction between these two psukim. In the first pasuk, it says, "Vayavoyu b'nei Yisrael b'seich hayam v'yabasha." They went into the yam on dry land. First, it mentions the sea, and then the dry land. The second time, the water is reversed. "U'b'nei Yisrael halchu v'yabasha b'seich hayam." It says first that the land was dry, and then that they went into the sea. Why the reversal of the order? Says the Gra that it is referring to the two different groups within Klal Yisrael. Within Klal Yisrael, there were Maminim, people who had faith and followed Nachshon ben Aminadav into the water, even before the water split. There were others who did not have faith. They waited. They waited on the shore to see if the Yam would split. And only once it split, did they step in onto the dry land. And thus the two psukim. First, Pasuk Chav Beis, Vayavoyu b'nei Yisrael b'seich hayam v'yabasha. They walked into the sea, and only later did it become Yabasha, dry land. The second group, in Pasuk Chav Tes, b'nei Yisrael halchu v'yabasha b'seich hayam. They went in only when the land was already dry, v'yabasha, the dry land, into the sea. For that reason, the first time it says, Hamayim lahem chayma malei, the water were walls on the two sides of Klal Yisrael. The second time, the word Chayma is spelled Chaser. There's something Chaser, something missing in the second group that went in. And the word Chayma spelled without the Vav are also the letters of Shema, or anger. To be Merames, to hint at the fact that what they did was not found fitting in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And thus, the Pshat and Tupsukim, which seem to be repetitious, but based on the Vilna Gaon, we see are truly words which teach us an important lesson. I would add that we mentioned once, I don't recall if it was Parshas Bereishis or Parshas Vishalach, that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky in the Emes LeYaakov on Bereishis writes that the word Yam actually means the seabed. It doesn't mean the sea, meaning the water of the ocean or the water of the sea, as most people use the word yam. Rather, it means the seabed, the earth under the sea. And thus, Vayavoyu b'nei Yisrael b'seich hayam. It says they came into the yam in both instances, even those who went in when it was dry land. Because the word yam is actually the reference to the seabed. As it says, Mayim Layam Mechasim, water covers the Yam. And thus, the use of the word Yam in numerous places in tomorrow's lining will become clear to you if you pay attention based on this Yisayin. And so there's a thought for the celebration tonight of Kriyas Yamsuf, which took place at midnight on the night, the seventh night of Pesach, something which we celebrate with the Yom Tov on the seventh day of Pesach. Let's move on to Shir HaShirim. As you know, we read the Megillah Shir HaShirim on the eighth day, on the Shabbos of Pesach, and the simple pshat is that it's connected to this Yom Tov, because Shir HaShirim is a song of love between Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam. And it's appropriate that we sing this song on Pesach, the day when Klal Yisrael, so to speak, became the Am HaNivchar. However, in fact, there is a deeper thought. In the Sefer Sifrei Tzedek, he explains, based on the aside, which I believe we shared last Thursday. Last Thursday, I shared with you the idea that an integral part of Pesach is Pesach, is the tikkun of the mouth, fixing one's kayach hadibur. As I mentioned to you last week, part of the chait of Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim was Lashon Hara. As we found, Moshe Rabbeinu, when Dasan and Aviram told Paroi that Moshe Rabbeinu had killed the Mitzri, Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Okay, noida hadavat." That idea, that concept, was part of the chait of Klal Yisrael during the years that they were working in Mitzrayim. On Pesach, we have misaken that with speaking kol hamada l'saper harizem mishubach. We try to fix the kayach hadibur, the power of speech. Shir HaShirim are words which, if they're understood on the most simple level, are not words of Kedusha at all. We only trust ourselves to speak the words of Shir HaShirim on Pesach, at a time of Tikkun Dibur, the time that our mouths are purified. When we fix our Kayach HaDibur, then we can trust ourselves to say Shir HaShirim and understand it on the lofty, high level that it was written. Indeed, Shir HaShirim, the song begins with Pasuk Beis. The first Pasuk, of course, is the introduction. It begins in Pasuk Beis with Yishakeni Menashikas Diu, with a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is expressed as a kiss of the mouth. The Kayach HaDibur, the power of the mouth in speech. And therefore, it's very appropriate that this is here on Pesach. The focus of Shir HaShirim is explained in the Pachad Yitzchak on Pesach, Maimer Mem, Lisei and Vav. I'll try to give the tamsis, or the basic idea, as follows. There's a concept of tzviya, of longing, of desire. And desire comes in two forms. The typical idea of wanting something or wanting someone is a desire which a person has with the hope of reaching the goal. L'man hatachlis, for the purpose, such as tipisa l'geula, hoping for Mashiach's coming. We hope for Mashiach's coming as part of our goal to actually bring about B'yas Mashiach. We do that through tzila, through ma'isim tovim. There are many things we do to try to bring the coming of Mashiach. And tipisa l'geula is part of that. That's one type of desire, and that's a typical type of desire. Someone wants something, and it's attainable. It's something which tries to get. There's a second type of longing, of desire. There are times when one longs for something, but knows it's not attainable. It's something that he can never get. An example of this would be somebody, a Ben Torah, who learns and longs to know Kol HaTorah Kula. You read about Gedolei Yisrael, and longs to be like them, to have the entire Shas at his fingertips. He knows that it's not in his kayach, it's not something he can attain. Nevertheless, there's a beauty in the longing, there's a beauty in the goal. That's a separate type of longing, of desire. It's a cheshek, a desire which is hard to truly reach. When Klal Yisrael went into Eretz Yisrael, he captured the land of Shiva Amim and of seven nations. When Avraham was promised Eretz Yisrael, the land of 10 nations was promised, Kini, Knezi, and Kadmoni as well. Klal Yisrael would never get that, would never attain it until the time of Mashiach. Nevertheless, there was a desire that when Klal Yisrael went into Eretz Yisrael, that they have the second type of longing of desire, even for something lofty and unattainable at the present time. There's a beauty in that type of a longing of a desire. Reb Tzadik talks about this as well. Reb Tzadik explains the Imais. Specifically, he explains the difference between Leah and Rachel. Leah had a strong desire, a desire which was achieved. Klal Yisrael, after all, comes from Leah. Shevet Yehuda, Levi, which are the bulk of the Klal Yisrael that exist to this day, we are descendants of Leah. Rachel had a strong desire, a strong teshuka, but it was not realized in any major way. After all, Ephraim and Menashe were part of the ten shvatim that went to Golos, and Binyamin, which survived, was a tiny shevet. And yet, it's Rachel's desire which we invoke in davening for the Geula Shleima. Rachel Nezake Al Baneha. Rachel's strong tshuka and desire is on a loftier level. It's a tshuka desire for something hard to achieve. Says Rav Huttner, this is the theme of Shir HaShirim. Shir HaShirim is a theme of longing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Longing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a very real way. And therefore it's expressed with very real words, words which of course we're very distant from understanding on a spiritual level. But that's the idea. The idea is to come out of Pesach with a desire, with a longing, with a tshuka, with a wish to be closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even though the tshuka is for gedolos, for great levels, which may be unattainable on our simple level, on the level where we are, that tshuka, that desire, that's Shir HaShir. I'd like to end with a beautiful story. A story I heard which has to do with the idea of Klal Yisrael among the nations being courageous, having the courage not to be ashamed of the time around us, having the courage to really do the things we have to do. I heard a beautiful story that took place to Rabbi Marvin Heyer, who today is well known on the West Coast in California, but in his younger years was a rabbi in British Columbia in Canada. And there, it happened that the Queen came to visit Canada and visited the city in which Rabbi Heyer was a Rav. It was a dinner, a Queen's dinner, to which all the clergymen of the area were invited, and Rabbi Heyer was invited as well. He responded that as an Orthodox Jew, he could not really partake in the dinner because he was limited by the rules of Kashrus. To the Queen, of course, nothing is too difficult. And Rabbi Heyer received a response that they would do whatever it needed to make sure that his dinner would be kosher. In fact, he came to the dinner and sat down and was assured that he would have a kosher meal. There would be a mashgiach there. He sat down at his seat and saw that his plate, his silverware, his glasses were identical to everyone else's. He went into the mashgiach and asked why kosher silverware, the plates, had not been prepared for him. And the mashgiach responded, this is a queen's dinner. They did manufacture silverware, plates, glasses special for him, but they manufactured it identical to the rest of the queen's cutlery. And he showed him that on the back of the fork, on the back of the knife, even under the glasses, there was a marking which identified his setting as the one kosher setting in the entire hall. With that, Rabbi Heyer sat down to enjoy the Queen's dinner. However, there was a catch. In the Queen's dinner, when she comes to a town, there is a custom that between courses, people change seats. People are to get to know each other. And therefore, for each course, the people change a seat to another place. Of course, the waiters take care of the change of plates, glasses, etc. And people change from one table to another so that they can mix with everybody. For Rabbi Heyer, this was a difficulty. He had his one set. And it was no small set. At the Queen's dinner, he had four or five glasses and many pieces of silverware. What choice did he have? At the end of the course, when they blinked the lights as a sign for people to change seats, he picked up his plates, picked up his glasses, took his cutlery, and carried it over to the new seat where he would sit for the next course. And this he did a number of times between each course. There was a conservative rabbi there, and he went over to Rabbi Heyer and said to him, "What are you doing? You look like a fool. You look like a waiter. What are you doing with your chumras, carrying your silverware, your plates, cups, your glasses?" Rabbi Heyer had no choice but to ignore him and keep on doing what he was doing from table to table, carrying the different pieces of kosher silverware, stemware, plates from table to table. But it never came to an end. It was a receiving line. The Queen and Prince Charles, her son, received everybody. Everyone walked in a line and had the opportunity to greet the Queen and to greet Prince Charles. They stood on a platform, of course, a little higher than everyone else, as is befitting the Queen. And as all the people assembled walked down the line, they greeted the Queen and Prince Charles. Rabbi Heyer came to Prince Charles. He shook his hand, and Prince Charles asked him, "What were you doing carrying plates, glasses, and silverware from table to table?" And he responded, "Well, I only eat kosher." And Prince Charles asked, "Yeah, but the cutlery is not something you eat." So Rabbi Heyer blushed a bit and started to explain to the prince about Nais and Tam and bleed ice and how we need to have kosher cutlery. At that moment, the fellow in charge of moving the line along called out to keep the line moving. And Prince Charles, in conversation with Rabbi Heyer, pulled him up onto the stage next to him so that the line could continue to walk even as they spoke. Imagine the face of this conservative rabbi who now walked down the line, greeted the prince, and sees Rabbi Heyer standing with him. He says, "What are you doing here?" And Prince Charles responds, "Well, he's explaining to me about how he only eats kosher." The conservative rabbi is lit up, his face lit up. He too wanted to get on stage and explain. He said, "I also eat kosher." So that, the prince looked at him and said, "You only eat kosher? Why were you using non-kosher utensils?" And it was his turn to blush. It's a nice story. A story about how we should not be ashamed of the things we believe in. We should stick to them. Even if at the end the prince doesn't admire us, but the king, the Melech Malchei Hamlochim, does. With that, I wish everyone a wonderful end to the Pesach Yom Tov. I hope you take with us all the pride of getting things right. Under HaKadosh Baruch's protection, with the prayer and hope that soon we'll be zaycheh to the Geulah Shleimah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, good Shabbos to all.